And then a week from today, in studio, sitting in the chair John Gregg is sitting in now, it'll be his fourth appearance on the show, his first appearance in studio, Mike Pence, next Friday. This Friday, right now, in his eighth appearance on the program since the campaign began, the Democratic, since John, Mike Pence is the Republican candidate. Just thought you, just in case you didn't know, John Gregg is the Democratic candidate for governor of Indiana. He joins me live, and today, this morning, this afternoon, a brand new John Gregg commercial has debuted on television statewide that features John Gregg in a suit in the State House. Has nothing to do with Sanborn, Indiana, but it talks about the issues. John Gregg, welcome.
Well, good. It's good to be here, Amos. Yeah, it's our fifth ad. You know, I wrote a book called From Sanborn to the State House. The first four ads were about Sanborn, how I turned out the way I did. You know, a little bit about my background. I'm not ashamed coming from out in the middle of nowhere, you know, being a small town kid. First person in my family to go to college, and now it shows me dressed up like a governor and talking about my record, but I'm pretty proud of it. I'm the only candidate running for governor who's made a payroll, the only candidate with education experience, former president of Vincennes University, the only candidate with state government experience, and my state government experience was bipartisan. And nobody can claim a bipartisan record running for governor that I can.
People are now really dialed in that there is an election, that there's an election now in 31 days.
31 days.
In 31 days, and the deadline for voter registration is this Tuesday, and you can start early voting on Monday. For those people that are listening that maybe this is their first time hearing you, why are you running for governor, and what would you do if elected differently than what has been done the past 8 years?
Thank you. You know, Amos, I'm running because I think I've got some unique qualities to help bring Indiana together. I am the only person running who's ever balanced the state's budget, who has ever improved funding and education, and cut taxes and done so in a bipartisan way. This election's about jobs. I'm the only one that knows how to make a payroll. I created my first job at age 15. Others may talk about results, but I've delivered them. And I am willing to work hard to bring both Democrats and Republicans together, take advantage of our opportunities in ag and manufacturing, logistics, life sciences, and energy. I know what it takes in education. We've got to keep college affordable. Our high school kids have to be career or college ready. And, you know, we're the only person running for governor that has proposed a pre-kindergarten and early childhood development, which is essential because those young kids are just like sponges soaking up water. They just grab and want to learn. And but the biggest difference, I'm inclusive. I don't think the best ideas come from your inner circle. I don't think they come out of the State House. I dang sure know they don't come out of Washington, D.C. Now, that's Washington, D.C. for those northern Indiana. But, I mean, I know that we're going to govern from the bottom up. We don't improve schools by not listening to teachers, principals, board members, and parents. We've got to be a little more inclusive on our reform.
On early childhood education. If state government, if state tax dollars go towards early childhood education, I know the Republicans in the House, Speaker Brian Bosma unveiled a proposal where, you know, gee, they'd like to do vouchers. Okay. Doesn't the state then have to insist that those preschools and daycares adhere to some standards so that what those kids learn will match what they're expected to know when they hit kindergarten or hit first grade?
Well, I can tell you this. We're one of six states that do nothing in early childhood development. Mm-hmm. And this is not only the right thing to do. Here's how it makes economic sense. There are statistics cited by both those for and against that every dollar spent on early childhood development will return $7 by the time that child is out of school. So that means the teachers will be able to teach more. They won't be playing catch up. The aides will be able to assist those that do need some help. Our plan is to study it in 40 different schools. all across the state of Indiana, get an idea of the cost, go to the legislature, and if we can afford it, we're going to ask the legislature to work with us and help implement it. The time is now for early childhood development.
Let me start with Wanda with John Gregg at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Wanda.
Hi, Wanda. Good afternoon to you.
Hi. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thank you. And how are you this wet day?
I'm doing wonderful. I look at television, and I see all the wonderful commercials that are on there. But I said if I ever got an opportunity to talk to you, I would tell you that your commercials kind of seem a little fuzzy, not very clear. And in order for the people to really understand, I don't know who does your commercials, but your voice is not clear. With the beauty shop, with the water running off the top of the building, I said when you got through, I said, well, what did he actually say? So I don't know if you could do anything about that to help. You know, but I thought I would let you know.
Well, I sure appreciate, Wanda, your call. I'll tell you what, if you watch our new ad, I don't think you'll have any problem understanding what I'm talking about. But
okay.
I'd like to challenge you and our other listeners, and this is the biggest challenge I have.
Uh-oh.
And it's to ask people to look beyond the party labels. Look beyond the rhetoric, because if you do that, you'll see there's a clear choice. I mean, I'm running against a guy who's never passed a piece of legislation, and he's only showed up for his committee votes 14% of the time this year. So he's missed 86% of his votes. And, you know, I mean, being governor's a full-time job. If he's not going to show up to be Congress, why do we think he's going to show up to be governor?
Yeah, that's true.
So now, Wanda, what newscast you watch? What channel do you watch for your news?
59 and 8.
You watch 59 and 8.
Uh-huh.
I think he's more. You're more on channel.
I'm on all of them.
He's on all of them.
Yes, you are. But when I saw that, I said, "Oh my gosh!" For us to understand.
Well, I tell you what.
A little clearer.
He's got a brand new one that starts that's already started. So when you catch the news tonight, you'll see it.
Okay, well, I'll be looking for it.
You know, Amos, I was on a call-in show up in Lake County, and some guy called in and said, well, you sound, he said, I'd like to vote for you. He said, I read all about you, but you sound like a hillbilly.
Well, there are hills by San Bernard, Indiana.
I'll tell you what, southern Indiana is hilly, but it is. But,
let me go to Larry at 239-1310. Hi, Larry.
How you doing, John?
Hey, Larry. How you doing, old buddy?
That's fine. You need to keep on doing what you're doing because, just like you said, Mike Pence has been on the dole all his life. He never have had a job. He's nothing but a stinking crybaby.
I'll
take half of that back. But the thing about it is, he has been on the dole so long that he's lost track of what's going on out here in the real world. And I'm talking to people now. You need to understand that Mike Pence have never had a job. He's been in Washington all his life. He's trying to preach against that. Never have passed a piece of legislation. So, really, it's time for him to go ahead and retire. Well, we need John Gregg as our next governor. So keep on doing what you're doing, John. You'll be in there.
All right, appreciate it. Let me go to Gregg at 239-1310. Hi, Gregg.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I wanted to say something that's kind of funny.
Okay.
When Bush was in office, he gave out 2 stimulus checks. So I remember cashing mine. Republicans went along with it. Now that the Democrats gave out some stimulus, they won't talk about it. Why is the Republicans two-faced it?
Hey,
let me deal with that crap.
Hey, Greg, let me share something with you. I think it's pretty interesting. The guy I'm running against voted to raise the debt ceiling in Congress 5 times under George Bush. The moment Barack Obama's president, he gets religion, and all of a sudden he's a fiscal conservative. And my favorite one is, if you've seen his ad where he rides all around the state in that red pickup truck, Chevy pickup truck, he voted against the automotive industry. That's 85,000 jobs in Indiana. He wouldn't loan money to 2 great American companies called Ford and Chrysler. And it was a loan because the money's been paid back. Can you imagine Kokomo without Chrysler? Fort Wayne without General Motors? Man, I can't. I mean, and then that's pretty brassy. I got to hand it to him. That's pretty brassy.
I tell you something else, too. I walked past him one day in the mall. He got scared. Would even say hi to me about that. Say hi to him about the art garden. I was offended by that.
Wait a minute. Mike Pence was afraid of you at the arts garden?
No, that Murdoch cat.
Oh, the Murdoch guy.
Yeah,
that's different.
I said, hi, he just walked away like I was about to rob his wall. Yeah, I recognized who he was. And I was trying to be respectable because you know you better be respectful even though you may be against somebody. And this cat looked at me and walked away from me like, get away from me, you darky.
Some kind of party up there a few months ago.
I was offended by it.
Well, you know, I can understand. I mean, he said Murdoch, but Murdoch and Pence, there's no difference. They're both Tea Party members. Only Pence is kind of a founder of it. I mean, I can understand how he'd get confused between Murdoch and Pence because they're both extremists. They're out of step with their party. So if you're a Luger Republican out there, it's time to come to Johnny.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos on WTLC AM Indianapolis. It's Afternoons with Amos. Oh, if you know, for 5 years... we had the honor and the privilege of bringing the sights and sounds of the annual Circle City Classic Coaches Luncheon to you on this program. And some of you may have been tuning in today saying, wait a minute, it's the day before the game. How come you're not from the Coaches Luncheon? Well, unfortunately, the people at Indiana Black Expo would not give us permission to broadcast live from the Coaches Luncheon.
Why?
I'm going to save that for my memoirs. Now, the reason I'm going to save the reason for my memoirs, but that's why I'm here in the studio talking to John Gregg and Chief Hike coming up and not at the Coach's Luncheon where I never got to eat the food anyway. 239-1310 because I was always working. 239-1310 back to the phones. And Ricky, hi there.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mr. First two names.
John Gregg.
John Gregg. Mr. John Gray, this is what I want to talk to you about, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, sir, but with everything going on in this country, and we see a lot of TV evangelists, radio evangelists being broadcast over the airwaves, and a lot of local ministries just popping up, and I come to do a research, sir, that some of these have three and four different church buildings with multi-million dollar buildings, but none of them have.
What's your question? What's your question for the candidate?
Okay, my question to the candidate. I'm trying to get through it, Amos.
All right. Well, I got a lot of people waiting. That's why.
None of them have any kind of youth league or anything for the kids in the community. This is my question to you, sir. Is it time for us to start taxing these proclaimed not-for-profit business that comes into the community? It comes over into our community over the airwaves via by land or sea, and that recruits our money, but the state does not tax them. Is it time to start taxing these entities?
John Gregg.
Well, I appreciate that. I didn't know where he was going, but I understand. You know, not-for-profits are that. They're not-for-profits, and we don't tax them as a matter of public policy. I'm not one that would want to see us taxing those not-for-profits. If there's abuses out there in them, what we need to do then is investigate them because there are laws on the books where you can go after them. And that's probably what we need to do. We probably need to check if there's bogus ones out. I would encourage this gentleman to call like the Indiana Department of Revenue. He can call the IRS. There's groups you can go to, but I wouldn't be in favor of taxing churches or universities or our not-for-profits.
239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. John Gregg is the Democratic candidate for governor. Your opportunity to ask him the question that's on your mind about state policy, things like not only jobs, education, the child police, also known as the Department of Child Services. When we come back, we'll ask John Gregg, wait a minute, the national unemployment number is falling 7.8%, but unemployment is higher than the national average now in Indiana, far higher here in Indianapolis. What would John Gregg do about bringing jobs to the older neighborhoods of our city, not just Sanborn, but places like Martindale, Brightwood? It's Afternoons with Amos after the 239-1310. 239-1310's Afternoons. His name is John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor. You've talked about jobs. How do we bring jobs to places like Martindale, Brightwood, to places like the far east side of Indianapolis, to places that are our older neighborhoods or neighborhoods that are kind of worn out? How do we bring jobs back there so people have an opportunity instead of having to walk miles to Plainfield to get a job?
Absolutely. And Amos, I've mentioned before, and this isn't the answer, but the similarities between those neighborhoods and a small town where I live are the same. Mm-hmm. No health care, no food, no police, no streetlights, no sidewalks, on and on and on. No health care. What we do is we've got a plan, and I'm proud of the plan. We've got a couple of things out there. Number one, it is a plan that targets Indiana businesses. You can be a subchapter S, an LLP, LLC, corporation. It could be Amos Brown, Inc., or it could be Eli Lilly. And if you are an Indiana-headquartered business, we will give you a tax credit equal to what you pay in your corporate tax because you're an Indiana business, number one. If you are not an Indiana-headquartered business like General Motors, Allison, Chrysler, or Boston Scientific, right, if you do manufacturing, if you do research and development, and you're adding jobs, equipment, jobs or equipment, and you are paying twice the average wage, the average annual wage in Indiana,
right,
we will give you the same credit. And we pay for this by collecting the sales tax that's going uncollected by that Amazon.com facility out there in Hendricks County and other things like that. We're just following the law, and that covers it. Also, we've got a plan for infrastructure. We're going to take money that's just sitting in accounts in Indiana, basically get the legislature to allow us to put $500 million to be used kind of for as a bond pool, right, a revolving loan collateral. That money can leverage $3.5 billion to be spent over a 4 to 5 year period, and that will be $3.5 billion, create 97,000 jobs. We're not spending that $500 million we're putting in there. We're just using it for collateral. So we're not touching this surplus. 97,000 jobs, architects, engineers, contractors, construction workers, designers. These are jobs that will help all of these areas and get the economy going.
Before I take another call, are we making a mistake as a state locking into a 15-year contract with an Italian, an American subsidiary of an Italian company to manage our lottery, thus tying your hands or Mike Pence or Rupert Bonham's hands as the potential next governor of Indiana? If this is such a great deal, why can't this lottery deal wait until January?
You know, privatization is a really sticky wicket out there. I know the one that I have studied the most, of course, has been the toll road. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that I get asked about a whole lot, particularly in northern Indiana, because they see that toll road gone. It's deteriorated. Truth of the matter is, on that situation, there you've entered into a 75-year lease, 69 years remaining, and the money is gone. Amos, it's gone. There's no money to finish I-69. U.S. 31 up to South Bend or the Hoosier Heartland. No money for roads and bridges. So that's why we did our infrastructure plan. So, you know, I mean, that's the reality of the matter.
Let me go to Ronnie at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
Fine.
Good. Just had a question for John Gregg. Mm-hmm. Mr. Gregg, I'm also a former student of Vincennes University. Loved the school when I was down there. And also, currently, I'm a 22-year state employee. And under the past 7.5, going on 8 years under Governor Daniels, we as state employees have taken a huge, huge hit in terms of privatization and outsourcing, as you just spoke of. But my question is to you is basically, as a governor, and when you win the governor's race next month, would you be in favor of reinstating collective bargaining to the state employees of Indiana, the same that we had under Evan Bayh, Frank O'Bannon, and Joe Kernan? Collective bargaining is so important to us. We're missing our ample pay, and we just now received our 2013 insurance rates for next year, and they're ridiculous. I don't know how in the world I'd be able to afford them, as well as any other options that they give us. And without really, you know, talking to state employees, would you be in favor of collective bargaining for state employees?
Well, I appreciate your question. Let me tell you, public employees should not be second-class citizens. They are an extension of public servants, and people go into those jobs because they want to serve the public. Let me tell you that as much as I wish that I could do that and as much as I support public employees' right to collectively bargain, I no longer have that right. The legislature passed in 2011, just before they passed right to work, when they were trying to pass right to work, legislation that takes the right of the governor to sign an executive order to be able to do that. That right's been taken away. So the governor no longer has the right to do that in Indiana.
But let me go back over. I've talked to some state employees about their insurance, and what is surprising to me is that it sounds like state employ or the state, how they've negotiated it, they've not negotiated wellness programs. A lot of companies now are negotiating wellness programs where they encourage, lobby, twist their employees' arms to do wellness things, and by getting more employees to do those kinds of things, that either lowers the premium or keeps the premium growth to next to nothing. If that's the case, why isn't the state doing that?
You know, I had not heard that. I do know that the state has incentives for people to quit smoking. And, you know, if they will sign a pact, then they get a break. I can tell you, Amos, I sat with five governors from across the United States with some executives of nationwide insurance and hospital and care providers. And all they talked about was wellness. They talked about how we as the patient has to take some responsibility in our own wellness. And as you know, as I remind people, you know this, I mean, I've lost over the last 10 years, I lost over 100 pounds. I changed my eating habits. And I do think wellness is important. I think we got to have a little bit of responsibility for ourselves. So I can tell you, if the state isn't doing enough on wellness, that'll be something we'll definitely take a look at under a Greg administration, because I'm a big fan of it.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon's Name is back to the phones. And Sue, hi there.
Hi, Amos. How you doing? I have
a question
for the man, and then I have a comment also. Uh-huh. My question is, how do you feel about the right to work?
I'm opposed to right to work. I think right to work is wrong. I think it affects everybody's wages. I call it right to work for less. It affects everybody's wages, whether you're a member of a union or not. And I think it's really going to attract the type of jobs that we really don't want in Indiana. I mean, I don't want us to brag about having $8 and $9 an hour jobs. We've slid from 36th to 41st in per capita income. You know, I want to concentrate our efforts when I'm governor. As governor, I will concentrate our efforts on those high-skilled, high-paid jobs, and we won't give one nickel of tax dollars to those people coming in here paying poverty wage-level jobs. I want them to come. We'll give them technical assistance, help them through the bureaucracy, work with the local communities that want them here. But under a Greg administration, I will lead the efforts for us to attract high-paying jobs.
All right, appreciate the call. 239-1310, 239-1310's Afternoon's Name is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. They haven't announced what stations will air it yet. There will be the first debate for governor between Democrat John Gregg, Libertarian Rupert Bonham, and Republican Mike Pence. How are you preparing for a debate?
Well, you know, I know it's going to be tough. I mean, Congressman Pence has been he's been a career politician. He's been on state syndicated radio, and he's one of Indiana's, if not Indiana's, top debaters. I mean, you see him on Fox News every night, almost. He's on Fox News Network. So my whole idea is to be able to be on there and let people know that I'm knowledgeable, that I've balanced Indiana's budget, that I've improved funding for education, that I have that I have cut taxes, and I've done so in a bipartisan way. We'll be talking about my background as Speaker of the House, President of Vincennes University, and as the only candidate who has those experiences, as well as making a payroll. So, well, we know it's going to be an uphill battle, not just because he's well-funded, because of all the vast experience he's had with debating and talking over the years. But if we can get people to look beyond that rhetoric and look at what's really said and look beyond the party labels, well, we feel we'll do great.
Let me go to Brenda, then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, Amos. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm fine.
Hello, Mr. Gray.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. I just wanted to make an observation and ask a question of you, if I may.
Go ahead, real quick.
you appear to be someone with great integrity, and I have a tendency to move towards those kinds of people, and you appear to be that kind of person. That's my observation. Earlier this week, I called in, and there were some Republicans on Amos' show, and I happened to be one who was able to ask some questions. And it's a very simple question, sir. There were three. The question I proposed to them was, would you support the collecting of data regarding young black boys, looking at how they're being suspended, expelled, and sometimes criminalized by the educational system? Two of the gentlemen said that part of educational reform, Tony Bennett should be doing this. But the other gentleman, I was very disturbed by his answer. He said, quote unquote, that we'd be on a slippery slope regarding the issues dealing with race. Can you kind of give me some insight as to what he really means by this and why shouldn't we collect this data?
John Gregg?
You know, I've got no idea why that data isn't being collected or available, and I don't understand what slippery slope it would be going down. I mean, I think we ought to be getting data that sees about why any child in school, regardless of race, color, creed, ethnicity, nation of origin, we need to see about students that get in trouble in school, students that are failing, students that are getting incarcerated. I mean, we need to be looking at anything we can do to keep children in school. That's why we proposed an early childhood development program, because if we can get these students in earlier, they're learning quicker, they're learning faster, they hit the first grade, the ground running, and we can keep them interested in school so that more graduate. And if more graduate and they are career or college ready, then we are going to have the most well-trained workforce, and we'll be attracting those high-paying jobs here in Indiana that I want.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. The police chief is coming up in just a hot minute, so just hang on. Oh, when you're out at the Circle City Classic around the parade, around the corners downtown on Ohio and Meridian and Pennsylvania and Capitol and Illinois and Washington Street, or in front of Lucas Oil Stadium before and after the game, look for the volunteers in sky blue t-shirts. That'll be the NAACP. They will be registering voters as we get close to the voter registration deadline. It's Afternoons with Amos after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310 with John Gregg. Are you sensing, first of all, within the last 36 hours, are you sensing that Democrats have been dispirited after the debate, or it's like everybody slept on it and said, you know, it's like Jay-Z song, dust it off your shoulders, you know, dust off, pick yourself up and keep moving.
I was hoping you would ask me what I thought of the debate.
What did you think of the debate?
You know what? I've got two boys, mm-hmm. and I'm a dad. Mm-hmm. And on the night of the debate, when I got done, I was actually in central Indiana, and at 5 o'clock, I drove 2 hours and 15 minutes south back to Sanborn, picked my parents up, drove to Vincennes University, where my younger son, Hunter, is a student. He commutes like I did. And Hunter, he's studying agriculture, but Hunter is musically inclined, and he was performing with the percussion ensemble in a recital that night. Mm-hmm. So I watched Hunter play the marimbas and these other percussion instruments. So I was dad. I was not able to watch our president and Governor Romney's debate because I was doing what?
You're doing dad's doing.
I was doing dad details. So I missed the entire debate because by the time I got my parents back to Sanborn, and they're at the age where I need to make sure they got inside the house and all, it was about 20 minutes after 10. And so I didn't get to see any of the debate.
How important is family to you? Because your opponent, and we know family is very important to him, and he wants to put some of those emphases on family into state government. I know family's important to you, and it sounds like if you're taking your parents from one point A to point B, and you're going to support your kid, that's what dads do.
Yeah, that's what dads do. That's what my dad did. That's what I want my boys to do. I mean, I love my two boys to death. One's a junior up here at Butler. The other one's a freshman at VU. my two boys were the ones in the ad draining the hose on
right.
me, by the way. But I mean, I'm, you know, I'm like anybody that's got children. That's my pride and joy. I love them, and that's why I'm doing this. I want to make sure that when my boys get out of college and when your grandkids get out of college, that granddaughter that I've met of yours, that when she gets out, there's a job opportunity for her.
Mm-hmm.
If she wants to leave or if my kids want to leave, move somewhere else on their own, that's fine. But if we've not taken advantage of those opportunities because we've spent all of our time fussing and fighting on social issues, worrying about the Girl Scouts and what kind of license plates you can have on the back of your car, we've missed those opportunities in ag, logistics, energy, life sciences, and manufacturing.
Let me go to our last caller with John Gregg, and that's Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Mr. Gray.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Hey, Mr. Gray, I'm from Jeffersonville, Indiana. I was wondering, have you had any plans with building those bridges from Jeffersonville to Louisville?
You know, I was in your town Sunday at the American Legion for a big picnic with about 300 people, and I can tell you that that bridge, that is why I remind people that we've got 60% of our bridges in the next 20 years are going to have to be totally replaced. We got to have a plan. That bridge has to be built. That double-decker bridge has to be built. But that's like a lot of things. The governor has already stepped in and let that contract, and that's already moving forward. We've got the same issue with the Klein Avenue Bridge up in Lake County, though, that's still sitting, really, and we need
why
to get it going.
Why can't we fix that?
You know what? If that bridge was going somewhere else other than in Lake County, it would be fixed, and that's unfair. That bridge needs to be fixed.
Did we get snookered in the deal with one of those bridges in Louisville where we've got to spend $200-$400 million of our money, our Indiana money, on a tunnel in Kentucky? I haven't figured out why we're spending Hoosier money on a tunnel in Kentucky.
You know, where I'm from, they tell Kentucky jokes. I think that joke on that could be on us, but I won't know till I'm governor until we can uncover or dig, so to speak. We can dig and find what really happened on that. But those bridges have got to be replaced, and so I'm glad at least to be seeing it move forward, but I wish we'd have sharpened our pencil a little better on it.
If people want more information about your campaign, John Gregg, you're running for governor of Indiana, and you're heading down to Bedford, the home of Lieutenant Governor Becky Skillman.
Mm-hmm. And Damon Bailey.
And what does Damon Bailey do now?
Damon Bailey, last I knew, had a small business where he sold industrial chemicals.
An Indiana business
that would qualify for the John Gregg Vi Simpson program that helps Indiana businesses put Hoosiers to work.
So if people want more information about your campaign, John Gregg is the governor candidate. Vi Simpson is the lieutenant governor candidate on the Democratic ticket. How do people get a hold of you?
Gregg, G-R-E-G-G, GreggForGovernor.com.
And there'll be a governor's debate this Wednesday. We don't have all the lineups of the stations, but I'm willing to bet at least Channel 6 will air the debate. I just have this psychic feeling. At least Channel 6. So if Channel 6 does it, then, Channel 13's got to do it. You know, so that's like Keep Up with the Joneses. Then if Channel 13 does it, then Jim Scheller will be mad. So that means Channel 8 will do it. So at least one of those three. But as soon as we find out, we'll let everybody know.
Absolutely.
And it'll be done up in Zionsville at they understand, a beautiful a performing arts auditorium.
Yeah. I hear
that
the people
in Zionsville are very proud of that, and they want all y'all to come up and bring some economic development to Zionsville.
You know, the people of Zionsville are excited about this, and I'm looking forward to going up there.
All right, John Gregg, the Democratic candidate for governor of Indiana, thanks very much for being with us. When we come back, police chief should be here. He's probably on his way. It's after news. Chief Height, after news with Amos, after these.